Here's what's coming up on the program this afternoon. We're going to get into the issues surrounding the school board races. Actually, a pretty big issue, and that is the operating budget. How can we continue to afford the money that we lay out? Well, there are all kinds of suggestions out there. One of them, of course, is to take a look at the health care contracts that are offered to teachers. And is there some savings we can find where perhaps we could put it out for competitive bid? You've heard us discuss this on the air before. We're actually going to talk a bit more about that and why that is more problematic than it sounds like. In just a moment, we'll get with Ruth Robarts, who is the outgoing Madison school board member. And no, we can't talk her into staying. She's already served a decade. She says she's been there long enough. She's taken it upside the head long enough on the school board. And we're also going to get into some issues surrounding Doyle's budget. There is now some controversy surrounding a campaign. I won't say pledge because he had already signed the bill, but he was out campaigning on a very tough sex offender bill that he had signed. It was one that he had worked on with Scott Suter and some other folks. And now it appears that there isn't any money in the budget for it. So we're going to talk a bit about that and why all this money laid out for all these programs, but apparently not enough to track sex offenders in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that troop resolution, of course, the other politics of the week. Brian Schimming's going to slide in. We've got the Upfront Friday Trivia Challenge coming your way at 5:30 with your chance to win free stuff, which is always a plus. First up, though, it's Ruth Robarts, and we're talking about school, the budget. I mean, you know, we're always complaining about not having enough. It's never enough. We always debate whether we should go to the taxpayers for more. Welcome to the show, Ruth. It's nice to have you.
Thank you, Vicki.
So let's focus on something you and I have talked about on the air before, and that is the health care coverage that the teachers receive. We think that many of us out here estimate if, in fact, we put that out for a competitive bid, we might be able to see some significant savings when it comes to the cost to cover the teachers. Right now, it's about 17% of the budget, so we're thinking perhaps there is a way to save the district some money, the taxpayers some money. But no, that's just not the way it's going to happen, is it?
Well, so far, no. I think, you know, I agree with you, competitive bidding needs to be in there. Because we do collective bargaining, you know, it takes a slightly different form than it would be if we were a private employer and we're able to just go out and get competitive bids. But one of the models we need to be following is the Sun Prairie School District, which recently got together with its union, got an outsider, you know, hired somebody who was objective as a consultant. They surveyed the teachers to see what they felt they really absolutely needed in health insurance, and then the union and the district used their, you know, bargaining power instead of on each other on the local HMOs. They saved millions of dollars.
Why can't we?
Well, we'd have to go that same route. We have to be sure, you know, we have to convince the union to engage in that kind of process and, you know, be successful at it. So far, although I've brought that up a few times, we don't seem to be going there.
Well,
not this time.
What I have is a document that, as I understand, this is a public document, operating under the assumption that it is, where the district has essentially taken health care negotiations off the table when it comes to what will happen if, in fact, there's an impasse in contract negotiations with MTI. So if you take health care negotiations off the table, and by the way, the QEO would be off the table as well, well, forget about it then. You know, health care negotiations are where we can go to save money. And incidentally, it also would benefit teachers in the realm of giving them additional wiggle room on salary. But we can't do it because the board agreed and the district agreed and the union agreed that we wouldn't talk about it.
Well, what they're agreeing is not that we won't talk about it, but that if we don't come to an agreement and we go to arbitration, which we have often agreed to do, that we won't let, again, an objective outsider make a decision based on the evidence about what's the best health insurance plan that the district can afford. Because remember, one of the things that an arbitrator does is look at the last offer of both sides. The arbitrator can't modify them, but he has to pick one or the other, and then the arbitrator looks at things like the district's ability to pay. So my take on, or my view on the arbitration is that you do want, if health insurance is not resolved between the parties. You want it to go, I want it to go to arbitration, because I think that, you know, there's a good case to be made that moving away from our current offering of WPS is not only a way of improving in some ways the coverage for our employees, but it's a way of saving future costs. This year, we are spending $43.3 million in the Madison School District on employee health insurance. Most of that is the teacher's coverage.
That's about 17%.
That's 17% of the
offering. Huge.
Well, it's close to, what, one out of every $5.
Now, this time around, when it comes to the upcoming budget, our administrators, we agreed to look at health care for administrators,
yes,
for custodians. So clearly this is something that is kind of a no-brainer when you're trying to look for some cost savings, but we can't do it right now unless MTI agrees to it.
Well, we've looked at it. We've negotiated it with our custodians, some of our AFSCME units, and we've worked it out with our administrators. Those are changes already in place. Correct. If the board agrees that, you know, given an impasse, you know, health insurance will never be on the table, then what it means is the union retains a veto, basically, on that change.
Well, and the concern, of course, is, because you use the phrase objective third party, or, somebody who came in, an objective outsider who could evaluate some other offerings and some other suggestions for the way we could cover our employees. The concern is, and it's a valid concern, that the president of MTI, John Matthews, also sits on the board of WPS. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's getting close to a conflict of interest if it isn't already there. So how can we be assured that if, in fact, MTI does agree to actually, you know, sit down and talk about health insurance, that we're going to get that objective outsider's opinion on what's the best deal for the district?
Well, I think the problem, Vicki, is we can't be sure. And collective bargaining...
Teachers can't be sure either, by the way.
In a collective bargaining setting, we're not allowed to communicate directly to the representative employees about health insurance. We must, by law, communicate through the district about proposed changes in health insurance. I think the question from the teacher's point of view is whether they continue to want somebody to control the information flow to them, who is also paid to be on the board of one of the providers, in this case, the most expensive provider. Well, no, more than half of our teachers are on group health. They are not all on WPS. They are seeing, particularly, I think the interesting point is the retirees. When our teachers retire, if they have unused sick time, they can convert that into cash and they can buy health insurance for after retirement. Teachers who are on WPS then move to group health, because if you use those same dollars, you can get 5 years with group health or 3 years with WPS. I mean, it's that kind of difference. Younger teachers, you know, new teachers who are trying to pay their mortgages, trying to pay their school debts and so forth, opt for group health in much larger percentages because they get coverage and they don't pay the small deductible or as big a deductible as, you know, our employees. Our employees do pay some for WPS, but it's like $50 a month on a policy that costs us, you know, $12,000 to $17,000 a year. You know, it's a
per employee?
Small, yeah. Well, for family coverage per employee, yes.
How much did you guys have a chance to calculate the savings when you looked at what the custodians were, how the custodians were covered, how the administrators were covered? Do we have any kind of calculation as to, you know, did we see savings when we decided?
We did see savings. You know, they're not huge. These are much smaller numbers of employees, and I don't remember them clearly enough to give them to you on the spot here. But, yes, there are savings from administrators.
Sun Prairie had some success as well.
Dane County has done the same thing. In collective bargaining with its AFSCME units has, you know, in several rounds of negotiations, talked to them about health insurance changes in order to preserve jobs and in order to enhance wages. None of us wants to take away health insurance from the teachers or to give them inferior health insurance coverage. What this is about is really a shift to looking realistically at what is the HMO market, what is the quality of health coverage here in Dane County today, you know. And today there's great competition, but there's also great quality. 20 years ago, an HMO might not cover you when you cross the state lines, but that's no longer true.
Yeah, things have, we've got quite high quality of care here.
Very high quality.
But unless the board decides that it wants to fundamentally change the agreement on the impasse resolution agreement, or unless MTI decides that it wants to get serious about these negotiations, then we're kind of just peddling in place.
Yeah, I think if, you know, if the board does what it did last summer, if the board goes ahead and takes health insurance off the arbitrator's list of considerations, then we've really undercut any momentum we have or any leverage we have in these negotiations.
We're going to take a quick break here. Ruth will join me for another break. Stick around. This is Upfront. All right, we're back. Ruth Robarts is my guest from the Madison School Board. So what I've got here is is the voluntary impasse resolution procedure. This is essentially ground rules. That's what the district and MTI have agreed to, and that's what we're talking about, actually, is the district, and it was approved by the school board, deciding that one of the things that will be off the table if an impasse happens is healthcare coverage. Another thing, though, that I think is very interesting, and I think that a lot of people don't quite understand, in this as well, it essentially takes the QEO off the table, too, which is not to say, you know, you want to threaten the teachers' union with the QEO, but the way we approach the salary issue is we start from the ceiling of the QEO, which is 3.8% increase. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but why on earth are we, do we have the ability to pay that and not negotiate health care? Do I, as a taxpayer, and everybody else here who continually, you hear it, complain? Is this the best way to proceed?
No. Our job is to represent the long-term interests of the kids. And when we can see that taxpayers are really strapped on the residential property tax, and that state dollars are not only flowing our way in huge amounts, but special ed dollars and other kinds of dollars are much less than they used to be, then I think from the kids' point of view, we have to spend every dollar as wisely as we can. We have to get, you know, we have to retain teachers, we have to recruit teachers, which to me says we have to be arguing to put money on starting wages that currently goes to health insurance coverage that goes to the kinds of increases teachers get in their 10th and 20th year. We have to be, as an employer, I think, concerned that, 20 years ago, 80% of what the teachers took home was wages. This year, 66% of what they take home is wages. So if I'm coming and I'm a new teacher, and I've got my mortgage to pay, I've got my student debts to pay, how attractive is it for me that two-thirds of my compensation is going to be wages and the rest of it is going to be health insurance and other perks, or, you know, retirement, I don't mean perks, retirements and fringes, some of which are really expensive. I mean, our younger teachers are paying for what I think are excessive costs for WPS with their day-to-day wages and with the amount of, you know, retirement they will build up over their careers. Your Social Security and your Wisconsin teachers' retirement don't depend on your total package. They depend on what you got in wages.
Well, and another thing that we have to consider is our ability as well to pay. Not only is it, you know, is it going to be attractive enough to recruit teachers into the mix, but are we going to be able to keep doing this when Art Rainwater, you know, and the board, frankly, have said we're not going to we're going to negotiate from practically a 4% increase in salary. We're not dropping it anywhere below that. We're taking healthcare off the table. As far as savings are concerned, I'm not sure how we get savings at all. And I would have to think that would frustrate teachers and taxpayers simultaneously.
Oh, no. I think you have to think about, you know, what gets the kids what they need 5 and 10 years from now? Well, it's for us to have a good, strong public support. And some of how you get that is you show people how you spend their money, and you show people, for example, with health insurance, that you understand that times have changed and that, you know, competition among healthcare insurance providers can work for us right now. That you understand that $43.3 million is too much of a school district's budget. You know, you can't continue to go up at those kinds of rates.
And it's going to keep taking a greater percentage of our budget.
Right. WPS goes up at about twice the rate group health goes up. You know, you cannot, you can no longer do that. That's what Sun Prairie has recognized. You really can no longer look for either to the taxpayers or to, you know, outside aid to be able to absorb that kind of increase.
Well, yeah, and we actually have to have some school board members who have the guts to stand up and say, you know what, no longer are these ground rules going to be in effect. We're actually going to change this. We're going to put this back on the table and not come up with BS, useless, you know, warm, fuzzy task forces that do nothing, because that's what we did.
I hope that you'll ask incumbents, candidates, and so forth where they stand on that kind of issue. I think it's an important one.
Ruth, we actually are out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always great to have you on the program. We're going to miss you on the board. We're going to take a